Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today. We're glad you found us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth in Texas. Today, I welcome naturopath, HUNA teacher, and author Suzanne Weichel to the show. She's joining me from Germany, so we're excited about that. And we're looking at her new book. It's entitled The Seven Elemental Forces of HUNA, Practices for Tapping into the Energies of Nature from the Hawaiian Tradition. So it's a pleasure to welcome Suzanne to the show. Welcome. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Paul. I'm really happy to be part of your show today.
You know, it's a long way from Germany to Hawaii, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
How did you get involved in the HUNA?
It's a nice story because one of my friends who is also working with shamanic techniques, and she told me about a book. And by reading this book, my first thought was, oh, I know everything that is mentioned there. But on a closer look, I realized that there is a very deep wisdom inside of this HUNA philosophy. And then I had the chance to join a workshop with Serge Kahili King. I think he's the most important HUNA teacher in Germany. And after that, I had suddenly the feeling that I have to go to Hawaii and to study HUNA on where HUNA has his roots. And now yeah. I'm regularly traveling to Hawaii, and I studied and I still study HUNA very, very deeply. And I'm really convinced that this is a very practical philosophy that we could easily integrate in our all-day life.
Right. And it's without a lot of doctrinal or dogmatic systems to it, isn't it? You know, a lot of us call ourselves spiritual but not religious, you know, because we no longer want all the trappings of religion, but we're still interested in a spiritual path. And HUNA is one of those traditions. I know a lot of people are into shamanistic things as well. I have a lot of shamans on my show, and I think people are looking for something that connects them to nature, to the earth, to, you know, into their bodies again. We've done some very interesting shows about that, you know, an embodied spirituality. And I think HUNA is very much, you know, speaks to that, doesn't it? But without all the, you know, you really have to believe in God, do you, to follow these principles, to follow this path. It's whatever God means to you rather than having to have, you know, God a certain way.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, Paul. Some people think they have to practice at a certain place in their room and their can't be any noise or something like that. And HUNA tells you do it wherever you feel the need to do it. The environment is not so necessary. It's the focus and the belief that you have the ability and the power to change things.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that this you know, sounds a little bit tantric too, in the sense that, you know, there's something to learn from everything that happens, right? Even our distractions, even our feeling like I'm not getting it is part of the path, you know? If we're going to be accepting of that, then we begin to get it, right? It's so everything works for good. I like to say, and I'm sure we've mentioned this on the show many times, you know, it's grist for the mill. Everything is useful, right? And so you don't have to have the perfect environment or the perfect situation and the perfect meditation or whatever before you can touch the spirit, because spirit is everywhere and everything. So, you know, it's available. So I love that idea.
Yeah, of course, you are right. And the other thing is that we don't need the perfect waterfall or the perfect sunny day. We have elements around us also in a very modern version. Maybe you use your hairdryer instead of going out and feel the wind. It's the essential wind energy. And I think the main part is really to believe that we can change something in our life. And in my opinion, we have the responsibility to take care of our well-being. And in Hawaii, whenever you meet people and then you talk and then you leave them, they always say goodbye with this Hawaiian saying malama pono, and malama pono means take care of yourself. So don't rely on others or don't rely on some gods or some things outside of you. Trust yourself and take all the techniques and the possibilities you have to change something. I think we are on this earth to develop ourselves, and that means also that not so nice things came across our path of life, but we have the power and the techniques and the methods and the instrument to decide how we feel about that and how we deal with these circumstances. I'm pretty sure that we always have choices.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you sound like a perfect Unity student or Unity minister there, because we would very much be in alignment with what you're saying, you know, that life is consciousness, and we have the ability to choose where, you know, our consciousness is, where our focus is at any particular day. So, yeah, very similar. So let's get into some of these techniques and tools and principles that you're referring to. You talk about the seven forces, right, and their power, the associated powers, and of course they're linked to the elements. And so we have wind, you know, the air, we have fire, water, and the rocks, the earth. But then we've also, in Huna, you add the plants and the animals, and the spirit within people, within the elemental spirits of the world, right? The core, the element of space, if you like, of the numinous, perhaps you might call it, right? So these really cover everything we might see around us, right?
Yeah, and what I like is the idea that each of this element is as important as the other one. There is no element which is better or more important. Every element has his own individual power, his own individual speciality. And that's what counts, and that's what we should keep in mind.
Right. So, you know, also that each quality of power has its own sort of it can show up in different ways, right? It can have its peaceful form and its aggressive form. So, for instance, wind, you know, it could be a gentle breeze, or it could be a raging storm that blows everything away, right? So you have this degree of a spectrum of possibility. A fire could be warming you in your house, or it could be destroying you know, a huge forest. So it's the idea that these forces are, you know, they're sort of homey and useful in some ways, but then they're totally, you know, transforming in another. And that's powerful too, right? Because if we think we control these things, if we think they're nice and safe, I think we've misled ourselves, right? These are forces of the universe. So they are, you know, much more magnificent than anything we can control or put in our pocket, so to speak.
Yeah. And the elements show us what intensity of power is inside of us, because we don't want to shout out too loud. We don't want to disturb anyone. But sometimes in our life, we need that strong fire that burns the whole forest, because there is the need to change something in our life or to have the power to fulfill a plan or a wish that we want, that we are dreaming about for a very, very long time in our life. So sometimes we need the nice fire that warms us, and sometimes we really need a great fire.
Right, exactly.
And the elements forces us also to live the big fire or the big wind and or the strong waterfall or the strong rain, and that we have the ability to deal with it.
I was been watching the programs around the space exploration, going to the moon. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon, etc. And you know, you look at the fire, the engines, the sheer power of the what it takes to lift the spacecraft, you know, out of orbit into space. And you know, many times the rockets would explode. Sometimes even the astronauts would die, you know, in before the rocket had even got into space. And you realize the forces that we were dealing with there, you know, getting people into onto the moon. And to me, exactly what we're saying here, you know, we could have said, oh my God, that's ridiculous, we can't have this happening. But no, we persevered, you know, even though there were those fires that were devastating, and then we learned from them. And but it takes that kind of energy to thrust you into, you know, if you want to get to the moon, you have to have, you know, huge combustion, and that can be dangerous. Obviously, it was dangerous in many regards. So, you know, nothing is achieved sometimes without risk and danger, right? And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, there is this easy saying I know for many years: no risk, no fun.
Right.
And the journey to the moon is a very good example. What people can do if they focus their energy and their will to achieve this kind of aim is so strong, and then they can rock the world.
Right.
And there are so, if you look into history, the people who changed the history were always people who have a very strong belief in their power and in their possibilities.
Right, absolutely. Definitely, and, got that focus again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in every part or in every aspect, if it is a business or if it is to write a book or to journey to the moon or to change the clothes of the people or to make a special movie or to become a famous singer, the people believed in their dreams. And they, in a certain way, they use all the sources of energy around them to be successful.
You know, I'm thinking about the Beatles too, you know, or any musician, mm-hmm. but especially the Beatles, since they were so remarkable in the variety of music they created. And they, you know, they would do exactly what you're saying. They would take inspiration from wherever they were, you know. So I remember a lot of the songs from the White Album, which is quite an interesting album, were written in India, and they responded to all the various events that were happening there, you know. And but it was, again, grist for the mill. It was utilizing what was around them and making it into some beautiful music, and the willingness to do that. And I think inspiration flows from that willingness that they had at that time. You know, they were in a very creative phase, and they did remarkable things because they allowed themselves to be inspired, you know, wherever they were. You know, one thing I love about the seven energies that you talk about, and on page 19 you've got a sort of a chart which shows the elements, but then there are their qualities and how they manifest. And you know, we talked a little bit about fire, how it can be, you know, warming and enhancing, but it can also be consuming and transformative. So it has these qualities. You know, but you, I think water's an interesting one too, isn't it? Because water seems to be passive in a way. It moves around things, and yet it also grinds things down, right? We look at these great canyons, and we see that they've been worn down by the water, you know, the movement of the water, and by rocks moving. And so, you know, even though it seems to be, you know, a passive thing, it's not. It's got a tremendous power. And again, that speaks to us, doesn't it? If we allow the water element to speak to our consciousness, it's there's more than one way to deal with something. I don't have to come with a cudgel. I can use a non-resistant but powerful water element, you know, in my consciousness, right, to achieve things. So that, again, there's so much we can learn from nature, and it's never ending, is it, actually? And I'm sure you're excited about this because you're very involved with it. There's no end to what you can learn from all that's around us.
Huna tells us, if you study the elements, you study yourself, and you can learn so much about yourself and so many things how to deal with life. And what you said about the water, we think the water is passive, but if you have a look at the water when it is in touch with something in his way, he's always moving. He's not changing his path. He's keeping his path, and the water is looking for a way to deal with it. And that's very interesting.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting, because we tend to give up or to follow the concept of, oh, if it doesn't work, that means it should not be.
Right.
That's the poorest idea you can have. But the water shows us, if it not works the way I try it first, then look for another way. And we are in a universe that offers you millions of ways to deal with a situation.
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking about yoga too. So many of the yoga poses are taken from the movements of animals, right? So we have different poses based on the elegance of a bird or a jaguar or a lion or whatever, tiger. You know, these different poses, cobra, that imitate the animal, but what they're doing is the animals are showing us, you know, how to move, right? So it's the same thing. We can learn so much from our natural environment, and I learned so much from my dog. You know, not only the unconditional love that, you know, animals have, but also the grace. You know, if I could be as graceful as a dog, you know, I'd be doing well. And yet we tend to think, oh, well, that's just a dog. But, you know, only if you see it that way, if you see it in another way, you realize that what a gift it is to have that particular animal in my life, you know, so I can learn so much from that. And it's the same with children. I think we learn a lot from our children, don't we? You know, rather than us imparting upon them knowledge, so until they can be ready to be in our world, I think it's important for us to be in their world, you know, because they are probably more connected to the elements than we are, because we've been sort of educated beyond it almost. You know, we have to unlearn sometimes, don't we, to get back to the simplicities of nature.
Yeah, and I love the Hawaiian word for animals. It's holo holo na, and if you translate it, it means go out for pleasure.
Yeah.
And if you watch your dog or a cat or a bird, I always have the intention that they love their life. And that's something we lost sometimes.
Well, you know, my dog just passed away with cancer a couple of weeks ago, and that's fine, but it was tough. But while he was alive, you know, he did enjoy life. As you said, in the morning when he was going to be fed, he would rise up on his hind legs, you know, and he was a big old dog, so he stood about 5 feet high, And, you know, just with the sheer excitement that he was going to be fed. And, you know, even when he got older, he was doing that. And it was like, what a joy. You know, if I could rise up like that to greet my day in the, you know, the breakfast or whatever, you know, I'd be doing well. So, yeah, the exuberance of it is inspiring, right? So, you know, to be like that. So, yeah, a great, great example, I think, of what we're talking about.
And you talked about the children and that they are more connected to nature than we. I think you are right, because we learn to differ between good and bad. So it's a rainy day. We don't like that. We don't go out because we don't want to have wet hair or wet clothes or get dirty. And children enjoy equal which weather they have, they just enjoy. And we can learn that again by studying the elements. They know a lot about joy of life.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is, energy and power is not the same. Let me give you an example. You can have a car and it's full with gas. But if you don't decide to drive your car, it would not move. So the gas in the tank is the energy, and the power is to start the car and to drive. So we can store energy and store energy, but if we don't use it with our power or our own free will, we would not drive anywhere. We would not reach anything.
Yeah, that's a hugely important point, isn't it? You know, there has to be the manifestation, right? The putting it into action in our lives. Because oftentimes we can be enlightened in our heads. You know, we know all the answers, maybe. We understand the way, but we don't put it into practice, you know. You know, we can talk a good talk, but then we treat other people not in a nice way. Well, that proves then that we understand in our heads, but we haven't learned how to put it into action in our lives. I know a lot of people that say they love humanity and then hate different people, you know. It's easy to love a concept, isn't it? But then you got to get out on the street, you know, and deal with some of the people out there that don't do the things you want them to do. We cannot control them. But it's huge. It's a huge lesson. You know, how do I put the littlest things into practice in my lives? One thing you talk about, let's talk about this before the break, creating a power circle. And there's different ways to do that, right? We're talking about the power circle of these seven forces. And I think you mentioned a few things. You can actually make a power circle in your garden. You could make it on your table or an altar where you've got the qualities. Or you can do it in your head, right? It's almost like a mandala or whatever. You can create these qualities that, and you get familiar with them, so you can go to them sort of mentally and bring them to mind whenever you need that quality and it's there for you. I think this is powerful.
This is very powerful. Let me give you an example. I just returned from a few days of vacation with my nephew on the lake of Constance. And what I often realize, and I think many people realize that as well, you come to a new place you have never been before, and you feel a kind of unfamiliar there on the first day or during the first hours. And what I always do, I establish a power circle. So at this Lake of Constanza, I took the nice summer breeze, all the sparkling lights on the water, that was my fire element. Then, of course, the big lake was the water element. The plants were all these huge old trees around the lake. And for the rocks, the lake is surrounded by high mountains. That was my rock element. And for the animals, I decided I take swan. And for the people, the human spirit, I chose the spirit of this region. And guess what happens? One day we were sitting at the beach and playing with the little rocks. And then I moved my head to the left side, and very silently, two swans were coming out of the water and sitting next to us, so close that we could touch them. And this is very magical, but it happens because the swan were part of my power circle.
Isn't that amazing? I've noticed that same thing myself. Again, set an intention, things will appear. It's synchronicities, I guess, right? We're living in a very highly tuned universe, right? For instance, if you say, I'm never going to argue again, I've transcended that, then the universe will somehow conspire to bring you an argument that day. You'll find yourself arguing with someone just to prove whether you are really beyond arguing. And I think it's the same if you're thinking about a certain word, somebody will speak that word, or you'll hear a snatch of that word on a radio, or like you said, in this case, a bird will show up in your life, because it's the universe telling us everything's in divine order. Whatever you choose to create, there it is, right? It's like a reminder that there is a harmony here, and you can trust it. It's beautiful.
Of course, yeah, of course. And I always feel deeply blessed when something like that happens. And
yes.
What I also did, I include my nephew into this power circle. He's 6 years now and he's really afraid of swimming. And one of our goal was to, he can swim, but he's always very, very afraid when he has to swim into deep water.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing this journey with him that he finds confidence in his swimming abilities.
Yes.
And at the end, the last day, he really swam 1,000. He really
wow,
swam.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
We
and
need
he
to take a break.
He found confidence and we did a really good job together.
Awesome. That's great. All right. We got to take a break. I'm being told by my engineer that we got to go to messages. So I'm with Suzanne Weichel. We're talking about her book, The Seven Elemental Forces of Huna. We're going to listen to some messages and come back in a couple of minutes. Join us then.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Unity Online Radio is bringing the message of unity to thousands of spiritual seekers around the world. If you enjoy our programming, we invite you to support it by visiting unityonlineradio.org and clicking on Donate Now. Help us continue to provide inspiring content to everyone. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Teachable Moment with Reverend Ogun Holder, taken from a talk at Unity on the River in Amesbury, Massachusetts.
Vulnerability is very uncomfortable. But as we know from so many teachings by so many people and from our own experience, the only way we will ever experience true connection is to be vulnerable, to be open, and to say, but we say to ourselves, but when we're vulnerable, we risk being hurt. Well, you only risk being hurt, again, if you don't get a full understanding of how love works. Nothing and no one can hurt you. Nothing and no one is against you. And everything that happens in your life, as I always say, and I will always say, so if I keep saying it and you keep hearing it and you get tired of me hearing it, I apologize. But everything happens in our life as an opportunity for us to show up as God.
To find a Unity church near you, visit unity.org.
Congratulations to Unity Books for winning honors as Best Small Press from the Nautilus Book Awards. Two books published by Unity are also winners of the prestigious Nautilus. Stations of the Cosmic Christ by Matthew Fox won a gold medal, and Andrew Harvey's book, Turn Me to Gold, won silver. The Nautilus Award celebrates books supporting spiritual growth and positive social change. Find these award-winning books at unity.org/shop or on Amazon in print or ebooks.
Sometimes you might feel so alone with your problems, you don't know where to turn. We invite you to call Silent Unity, the 24/7 prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you every day at any hour. Listen and relax as you hear their beautiful words affirm the highest and best outcome for you and those you love. No matter what's going on in your life, Silent Unity is always standing by. Call today, 816-969-2000.
Discover how to connect with our loved ones on the other side with Suzanne Giesman and Messages of Hope. Tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. Central as Suzanne shares evidence that love never dies. In evidential medium, spiritual teacher, and author, Suzanne brings hope and healing through her gift of communication with those who have passed. Suzanne brings messages of hope and love that go straight to the heart. Tune in this Thursday right here on Unity Online Radio.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
So welcome back to today's show. I'm with Suzanne Weichel. She's joining me from Germany, from the beautiful state of Bavaria. And she's here to talk about the seven elemental forces of Huna. And these are practical steps for tapping into the energies of nature, and which is all around us and within us. So it's something we can do wherever we are, in any place, at any time. And that's exciting. But there are certain tools we could take, to certain approaches, right? You name a few here, like a positive attitude. You already said earlier, you know, it's a choice. You have a choice each day how you're going to approach the day. And I think a positive attitude, I'm open to new possibilities, is going to bring us good. If we can't see the good, it's harder for it to come to us, you know, because the universe generally agrees with us. You know, if we say the universe is a miserable place, then that seems to be the way it shows up. If we say it's a place of possibility, then lo and behold, it's a wish-fulfilling gem, and here it is. Another one you have is thinking of nature as family. I love that, you know, because so often, especially in the modern era, we tend to think of nature as a resource, right? Something to be mined, developed. You know, they talk about, in America, they talk about raw land, you know, as if it's useless. It's never been developed. We have to develop everything. And I got a beef about America in that way. I love America and many of the things that happen here. But when I go to Europe, I don't see the sprawl. I don't see all the fast food joints, you know, along the street for miles, and the endless development. I see it all, you know, contained within villages and whatnot. So the landscape is very pristine. It's still open. And I don't know why we went there in America to do that. But, you know, I think it's part of this idea that we've got endless of space, so we can just fill it with what we want. And I love that idea of nature as family, though, because we respect our families, hopefully, right?
Yes, we should respect every member of the family. And what I like in working with the elemental forces mentally is that it is cheap. You don't have to spend money for it. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't destroy something. So it's a very, very environmentally friendly way of living. And you strengthen your life and yourself, because with training, you can focus and you can see how many sources of energy you have around yourself.
I was reading an article in the paper the other day about reducing the carbon footprint, you know, dealing with global warming. And it mm-hmm. said that many areas of the world could be forested again, you know, with little cost to agriculture, because they are hill lands or some such that, you know, that it wouldn't impact farming. But millions of trees could be planted, and this would make a huge difference. And I'm thinking, you know, it just takes a certain creativity here. And I know there's a big movement to rewild things, you know, to bring back the animals and plants that have been lost, and to create a more natural environment. Again, we know, I think studies have been done, that when people are introduced to environments and nature, and children especially, you know, they grow up to be less violent, more content. And people that are cut off from nature, you know, tend to be less balanced. And so, you know, we know how important it is to be in nature, and not just, you know, the nature of farms and everything, but something more wild. How's your navel? You got that. I got to check my navel. What's that about?
The navel, the Hawaiian word is piko. And in the ancient day, they greet each other, how's your navel? So you ask the person in front of you, how's your power today? Are you feeling powerful? Did you do something powerful? Are you on the way to use your power? So the navel, the region around your navel, is your power center. So today we sometimes think, oh, this person is not so powerful, that's good, because then I can deal with this person more easily. But in Huna, and also the elemental forces, they say to you, show your power, use your powers, go into have friends, have colleagues, have relatives, and invite them to be powerful and enjoy being in a circle of powerful people. Don't be afraid of power.
Yes. It's interesting, in the Japanese, you know, Buddhist tradition, they talk about the hara, which is the same place, you know, the solar plexus, the navel, as being the center of power. You know, when you're meditating, you need to ground yourself in that place. And then you've got stability, you know, get ability to have a successful practice. And, you know, I think it's become a joke in the West. We talk about navel gazing, you know, as if that's a bad thing. But again, it's sort of we make light of some of these techniques that are really very powerful, right? It's not about navel gazing in the sense blissing out and avoiding life. It's going to the heart of things so you can live a more successful life, right? But yes, sometimes what we don't understand, we kind of dismiss, I think.
Yes. And there is a breathing technique with the seven elemental forces, which I use very often. And it's very easy, but very effective. So when I look around me, and for example, right now, the sun is shining into my kitchen. And what I do, we are talking, and during the talking, I just breathe in mentally the sun. That gives me a higher level of energy and makes it more easy for me to talk to you and feel good by talking to you. And there is also a glass of water, and whenever I see it, I just breathe in the water into my navel. That's very easy, but you open the source of water or the source of sun for something you want to achieve. And what I achieve right now is to have a great interview with you.
It's very interesting, isn't it, how, you know, we can choose the most simple things and yet they can profoundly change us, right? I think sometimes we think we have to do esoteric exercises or whatnot. But what you're describing is beautiful, because it's all around us. You know, we can always have a glass of water on our table, or notice the sun, or if the sun's not shining, notice the sky or whatever, and be in touch with that. And I love that idea that there's blessings everywhere. I think sometimes it's like it's right beneath our noses, and we don't notice it. You know, it's too close for us sometimes, that we think it has to be something special somewhere else. I think we have a bad habit of that, you know, or someone else has got it and I don't, or one day I'll be enlightened and then I'll get in and I'll have peace, etc. Whereas, you know, it's all here already, you know, just to enjoy. So I love that reminder. You also say that you know, we're all telepathic, you know, and some people would say, well, I don't think so. I'm not. Well, what's that about?
Oh, I think every person has this telepathic ability. It's just a question of training. And if you, and it's a question of our belief system, because some people think, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not born with this ability, and then they experience it in this way. But I would like to let the people know, you can do that. And example, when you go into the supermarket and you want to buy some vegetables, you normally choose the vegetables intuitively. So that's a very easy example for doing telepathy. You know, there are hundreds of cucumbers, but you choose this certain cucumber, which is the best, which fits in the best way to your energy system. And this is a way of telepathy.
It's using our intuition, isn't it, almost? It's using the non-verbal, non-intellectual part of ourselves, right? Trusting that. Like, for instance, if we're in a room and there's somebody that's got some negative energy or something's going on, we can usually pick that up straight away. Well, where did it come from? Or even if somebody's looking at you, even just glancing at you, and you're not even looking at them, you sense it. You know that somebody's looking. You'll turn towards them, and often you'll catch their gaze before they turn away. It's like we have super senses that are above just the regular senses, and we can develop this too just by being conscious that it's there, right? That it's available to us.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it's our belief system that we differ between bad and good. For example, people who are angry or aggressive, I want to avoid them. But the aggression is in the end only energy. So if I could be able just to get in touch with the energy, with the neutral energy, then an aggressive person could also be a very great source of energy, because the person decides to take the energy and put it into aggression. But I could also take the neutral energy behind the aggression and put it into love or into tolerance or into calmness. So if we are able to see the energy behind everything, then we can see great sources of energy. And this is something that the elements know, and they deal with this concept perfectly.
Yes, interesting. And I was once stuck at an airport, and there were hundreds of people getting more and more angry that they couldn't get on their flight. And my wife was distraught because she needed to get back to do something. I think we had to get back to go to work, actually. And she was upset, and she went to the counter and spewed out all her upset consciousness and frustration. And all he said was, "Oh." But it was the way he said it that totally diffused the situation, you know, because he heard her. He had no solution, but he wasn't trying to make excuses either. But he was reacting to her frustration. And it could have been seen as condescending, but he didn't do it in that way. He did it in a, I empathize with you. And so he took her energy, you know, and he used it, like you just said, towards caring for someone rather than, you know, trying to deny it. And I thought this is a good example of what we're speaking about, right? We're still in charge of, no matter how much aggression there is around us, that often can be useful again, grist for the mill, for us to see life in a different way. And I should make a caveat here. You know, don't get yourself into, you know, desperate situations and think you can turn it around. If somebody is extremely aggressive and violent, you know, don't think you can be a savior here and change the consciousness. Sometimes it's better to stay away. You don't want to be harmed. So it has to be used wisely, correct?
Yeah. And you always have the choice how you would deal with an aggressive person. Some people go afraid, some people want to avoid them. But the possibility we also have, always have, is to decide how we deal with it. So if we could stay calm or tolerant, then the aggressive person could be calmed down. Or we can send him, what I do a lot is to work with imagination. So when I see some person who is aggressive, then I take the first element that pops into my mind intuitively. Maybe the first thought is a big tree, and then I put a big tree behind this person. So it's a kind of a gift, a present from me to that person. Or when I'm at the supermarket and there are many people and the cashier makes some faults and it doesn't work properly, so I decide to give the woman a waterfall that makes her fresh and her brain could concentrate better and she could deal with the crowd of people in a much better way.
And I love that too, because what it does, instead of us reacting to somebody, we're shifting it around. We're giving a gift to somebody, right? We're not forcing a gift on them. We're just seeing that for them. They can, you know, tap into it or not. That's their choice. But yeah. I love that. Because oftentimes we react, you know, this person is really aggressive. I don't want to deal with this. But if we offer them something, then we freed ourselves from that aggression, you know, and replaced it with something creative. And I love that idea because it's shifting. It's changing the energy that we have in that situation for ourselves and for them. And, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it certainly works for us, right? Because we've moved into a more loving, creative place. I love that. You know, when I was a kid, I was told, don't daydream, stop daydreaming. And now you're telling me that I can daydream, right? And we talked about imagination just a minute ago. But you talk about active daydreaming. This is one of our powers, isn't it? It's not fantasy. What makes it different from fantasy? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So daydreaming is a very powerful technique that every person has. So if we use it consciously, it gives us a very, very strong focus. And focus is the key to everything. So we don't have to, it's not necessary to focus on a certain goal for half an hour. But within our day, for 30 seconds or for 1 minute, to keep a strong focus, that makes the miracle happen. And active, consciously daydreaming is that you have a thought or a wish and you combine it with a strong, pleasant feeling. And the third part is an element that fits to your thought or to your wish. And then you have a really, really powerful package that makes things happen in your life. So, for example, you want to find a new job which with nice colleagues. That's the aim you have. And then you combine it with a feeling. How would it be to go to work every day, to get compliments, to have persons around you who see your potential? And then you choose intuitively which element fits to that wish. And maybe the Grand Canyon, the rocks of the Grand Canyon pop into your mind. And then you feel this power of the rocks around you, and your wish becomes another dimension of energy. And that's one example for active daydreaming.
Very beautiful. And again, it reminds me of Buddhist practice, you know, where they encourage us when we're in sitting, in meditation, you know, to sit like a mountain, and, you know, have the eyes like an ocean, and or the mind as an ocean, and the eyes as space, as infinity of space, of the sky, the endless sky. And it's very much the same, isn't it? You're getting in touch with these great powers that are available to us, and they're not just in the Grand Canyon or whatever, they're in us, right? Because we are one with everything, and we have the power to be there in that consciousness. And to me, that's wonderful, because it's utilizing everything that's available. By the way, I need to tell you folks that this book is full of, we can't cover all of the things that are in here, lots of practical advice about how to, different options about how to tap into these forces and these powers, and to make them manifest in our lives, different options that we might have, techniques for communicating with nature, etc. And it's all done in a book that's in the Earth Dancer series, is really nice as a gift book too. So it would make a wonderful gift to somebody, because there's beautiful photography all throughout the book as well. So it's a source book, but a lovely gift book. So I would consider that too. It's available in all the usual outlets. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, Suzanne, do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.suzanne/weakl.de.
All right. Thank you very much. So in our last few minutes together, what haven't we covered today that you would really like to speak to and to our audience? But you really want them to get an understanding of today.
It's one of my heart desires is that the people open their eyes and see the different sources of energy and use them consciously, and don't differ them in good or bad, just use them for whatever they want to achieve. And that they keep in mind that every element, equal if it is the drop of water that you use for your shower, or the drop of water when you are under a rainfall, both drops of water have the same wild energy of water. And the elements are so full of magic and so full of power and wisdom. We can study them for years, and we always learn something new. And even if you drive your car on a road, you are driving on rocks, and rocks in the Huna traditions stay for love, embrace, and self-esteem. So every day when you drive to work, you are driving on a road of love and self-esteem. And to do that for 1 or 2 minutes during your driving consciously, that changes how you love yourself and how you love your life and your surrounding tremendously.
And so again, it's a shift, isn't it, from seeing life as a humdrum thing to to a sacred, holy thing, you know, but in a very natural way, you know, in a very earthy way. And I love that. It's it connects us, doesn't it, to the forces all around us.
And it's so easy going. Many people say, oh, I don't have time for this and that. My life is so busy and there are so many things to do. But you are driving the car to work every day. So just to think, oh, I'm driving on a road of love, that needs 10 seconds and that's it. So really, we are responsible for our well-being. And there are so many easygoing things we can do. And just when we focus 30 seconds or 1 minute on something, it helps us a lot. We don't have to sit down and meditate for 30 minutes. The short daydreaming exercises are so powerful and they fit in our all-day life, equal how busy we are.
You know, I grew up in Great Britain, and so tea is very important to me. And every day I have a ritual where I boil my water and make a cup of tea. And you say, well, that's the simplest, most mundane thing, you know, but to me it isn't. You know, it's the idea again, we're utilizing the water, we're boiling it, you know, it has to be fully boiled to make a good cup of tea. And, you know, I love the idea that the tea came to me from somewhere exotic, you know, and it's going to make a nice strong tea in my cup, and it's revivifying. You know, my mother used to say, you know, we can solve all problems with a cup of tea, and you know, and I think there's something to that. You know, it's a beautiful idea. We are out of time. Let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Suzanne. Next week, author, award-winning coach. Excuse me. I can't read my own writing. Let's start again. Author, awakening coach, my friend and husband and father of three joins me to talk about his new book, Mind Spirit Detox, and a collection of practices, meditations, and insights to clear your being and inspire your practice. It's a wonderful book. I encourage you to listen next week. But right now, what a joyous show it was. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Really appreciate you and the work you're doing.
Thank you, Paul. And to all the people outside listening to us, allow the elements to play an active part in your everyday life. Malama Pono, and thank you so much for being part of the show.
Excellent. Thank you. What an inspiration. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, Alexa, open positive prayer. You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.